Good evening again to each one, and greetings in Jesus' name. It's starting to be a pleasure to see your familiar faces again, and I can see how this will work. About Sunday night, I will know you as good as I can, probably, and then I'll be gone, and our lives will return to many ways normal, whatever that means some days. So I've appreciated being with you all. I know there's a some flowers ended up on my wife's doorstep, so thank you all for whoever were responsible for that, and we do appreciate that. She did, and I do too. To know that you're thinking of her. And well, I think for the start, we'll sing our theme song. Let's just sing all four verses tonight. Complete in Thee. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you tonight, and you know that I'm nervous for various reasons. I just pray, Lord, you give me the calm my nerves and give me the strength to share the message you've laid on my heart. Father, I pray for each one here. I pray that we could be complete in you. And as we live our lives, that we would live out the word of God and live out the teaching of those who have walked before us. And so guide us and keep us tonight. We need you here in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight I'm tackling a subject that I have never tackled before, and it's one that is dear to my heart, and I guess my reference is Franklin County or Winchester. It's more Franklin County than Winchester, but the two are mixed together. And as I look across the churches and I look across what seems to be happening because of where we are, where the world is and its influences, what I'm sharing tonight is a burden I have that we go the right way. And it is a message, I guess, for youth tonight. However, as parents, we must pick it up as well. But you know, if we start down a wrong road, it seems like at the start of the road, it doesn't seem so bad. You know, if when I left Winchester to come to Lebanon County, if for some reason Lebanon County would have been south of Winchester, I would have rather known it when I started out rather than when I got here. The message title is Restoring and Maintaining the Boundaries of Gender Respect. Restoring and Maintaining the Boundaries of Gender Respect. Maybe you're here tonight and would have no idea why we even consider a message like that. And I can understand if you feel that way. And probably the burden that has pushed this message forward is helping youth as they work through the electronics, all the messaging that is available today, and how fast that can go wrong. I'd just like to read some verses from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. Tonight, we all have the privilege to learn. We have the privilege to take the word of God into our lives and absorb it. And I'd just like to, I set this up here, stopped and got these at Walmart before I got here. And I was hoping to have one that was fully open, but I couldn't find one that way. Do you know, to youth, many ways your lives represent this road right here. See, this rose is just starting to open. This rose has a lot of potential. What happens? I forced this rose open. But it's still not open. Who was supposed to open that rose? You know, it wasn't me, was it? We'll pick that up at the end of the message again. Some of the reason that we are facing pressure is because we are living in a world where they are saying, do away with it. We don't need respect between the genders. We don't need reserve. We don't. And I guess some of you are probably aware of what the things that come in the news, and you know, there's an applaud. People are applauding the fact that the toy stores now would not have boys and girls toys. And see, then this leads to more discussion. Well, why do we have pink and blue anyhow? Let's just have purple. What's the reason? And you can take it farther yet. People are starting to say, well, what about, you know, we have men and women's bathrooms now. And I know this sounds stupid. I'm just telling you the type of world we are in. The transgender people are finding a problem. And our world is geared and thinking in a way that they're going to say, what can we do to accommodate this? We certainly cannot turn anyone out. We certainly cannot tell anyone something they don't want to hear. So that is the world we are facing. And I believe as the younger generation, I don't know how, somehow I think we are going to face things we never imagined. I think that 100 years ago, if they'd have known some of the abilities we have to social network today, they'd have been horrified at what a person can actually do. I know that there's another side to this. And that is where we go over on the side, well, boys and girls don't talk. I'll huddle in my corner and you huddle in yours. And I'm so thankful that I don't think we're struggling with that end so much. I think that was good that we've come away from that. Do you know how it is? When you're not struggling with one end of the ditch, then you're struggling with the other. And so most of the message is not going to be about social networking or messaging between the genders. And you can say, well, we have a rule. Well, you know, rules really don't do too much if we don't understand why they're in place. And you know, one of the things I had to learn as a minister is that just because there's a rule don't mean people will listen to it. And part of me says that means we have wrong concepts of authority, but that is where we are, whether we like it or not. That is how people think. It's how maybe I think that way too. So what I'd like to do is pretty much lay a foundation for what I believe the Bible would teach as wholesome relationships between men and women, boys and girls. And you're at that stage, you could call it almost either, as youth. And I really want you to, as you think about some of these things that I say, my goal for you is that you would allow the right person to open your life. Your life is like a rose. And it can be beautiful. But if you force it open, you're going to have a lot of things to work through. And that's just the desire of my heart for you all. And I just said I was speaking from my perspective at Franklin County, and maybe Lebanon County doesn't struggle with it, but somehow I think that you struggle with the same things we do. And if there's anything that happened here recently, I know nothing about it. I'm just sharing what is on my heart. First point I'd like to look at, what is the Bible definition of flirting? I mean, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 7. We were there last evening, and there's a few of the concepts that we will talk about tonight that I brought up last evening. I don't feel bad bringing them up because many of you were not here, and besides, sometimes we need to hear something more than once. We have here a story of this this man and woman, this boy and girl, whatever they were, we have them flirting with each other, and we look at where it leads. And I just want to look at, first of all, as we think about the Bible definition of flirting, in other words, we're looking at people that have went the wrong way, and we're studying their behavior first. And then after we do that, we're going to look at what would be the right behavior. Biblical principles for that. I just want to start reading verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, and her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, and now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me, this day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with the fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamons. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. For the good man is not at home, he is gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, and as a fool to the correction of stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Excuse me. First one I'd like to look at here is, and I know this was focused mostly on a strange woman, but they both made a decision to go wrong. They both made a decision to make wrong choices. And we're going to combine the two. The first one I'd like to look about is they both put themselves in the way of temptation. They both put themselves in a place and in a situation where they knew they would be tempted. They knew that the possibility was there to go wrong. And I just wanted to help us to try to strip down some of the excuses we make, that we make sometimes for things that we do. You know, if you want to get something from the opposite gender, you're going to go to someone, in other words, maybe you just want to talk with them and have a good time joking around or carrying on, whatever it is. You'll go to the one that you know will do that with you, right? I mean, that I understand that feeling in my own heart. And you see, if you know that there's a young lady, or you know that there's a young man that you know he's a Christian, and you know that he is very serious about his Christian life, and you know that he would not join that type of conversation. That's his reputation or her reputation. You wouldn't even go there, right? And so Proverbs 20 verse 11 says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. And so there's some times we literally put ourselves in the way of temptation. We put ourselves in a position where the conversation is just loose and where it is lax. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? And one of the things I think he was trying to say there, that it is very easy for us to simply make excuses, and we fail to look down into the deep recesses of our heart and say, this was the motive for pursuing that. And I just want to say that as I look at this young couple here, that one of the ways we flirt with temptation is we simply just put ourselves in a position to receive something from the opposite gender. Letter B is we use flattery to receive gratification from the opposite gender. As I look at this word In Proverbs, we have a lot more verses. But again and again and again, it uses the word flattery as one of the key ingredients that will take a relationship the wrong way. It's just in it. You look and you read it. We read it there a couple different times tonight. And there's many more verses where it looks at flattery. And that is one of the key ingredients that will take a relationship downhill. And will go somewhere you don't want it to go. As you look flatter up in the Strong's, and I was amazed and I was intrigued at what it meant. Because it meant exactly what it does. It means to take away and to receive. Now, how do you have a word that means two opposites? But is that not exactly what flattery does, right? Flattery takes away from the truth. Flattery takes away from integrity so that I can receive something. Surely you have been around long enough, most of you, and you know what it's like to be in a circle of youth or whatever it is. And you know, the subjects get light, and you're joking around, and the atmosphere is light. And, you know, and that is when we just start talking on a light tone. You know what I mean? You ever been in those situations? Some of you. And you know what? That is one of the... And you know in your heart. Now, if you are wanting that, you will probably go home and hope to get more at some point. But if you are a godly youth and you really want to do what is right, you're going to go away from that conversation and say, you know what? I didn't feel quite comfortable there. It's one of the things that... One of the things that happens with flattery, one of the things that happens when talk gets to light, when the genders are relating together, when it gets light and there's a lot of joking. I'm not here tonight, if you think I'm here saying that we never have a good time together, I'm just trying to help you understand that where these things will lead. And I'm trying to put some principles and apply that to our daily life. If our life is all about joking, then we really need to take a serious look at our lives. But I think that we really need to be careful of what kind of atmosphere we are willing to tolerate in a group of mixed gender. The Bible would make it clear that flattery is one of the ways that it starts to get downhill. You know, and I've been in enough of those situations where I know that, you know, when that starts to happen, the determination to keep myself pure, the determination to relate in a proper way just starts to slip away. It starts to just, after a while, you feel your defenses starting to slide away. Because you're having fun. They're receiving something, you're receiving something. Receiving, it's gratification. I know it's just talk. I know it's just bantering back and forth. But receiving gratification. Letter C is using our body in some way to get the attention of the opposite gender. We have here this woman had used her body. If we go to, she had the attire of an harlot. And we go to the next, Proverbs chapter 6, where it talks about, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with thine eyelids. And I know that maybe this one is addressed mostly to girls and to women. And you know, I've talked to my wife about it. She said, you know, that is a temptation. It is a temptation to want to do that and to be that. But you know, if we were here tonight and we want to be a godly young lady, we want to be a godly person, we want to keep ourselves pure, we're going to recognize those symptoms. And we're going to say, you know what, I cannot do that. We will look at that some more. Their D is, we sneak around our authority to fulfill our lusts. And that is, this young couple here, did you notice that? Of how the point was made very clear that dad's not home. In a sense, the goodman, whichever her authority was, whether it was her husband or her dad. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. And I think that one of the ways we go wrong is when we we start around dad and mom. We start to say we have things on our phone or we are involved in activities with the opposite gender that dad and mom don't know about, and we don't want them to know about it. We are setting ourselves up to go wrong when we start down that path. Now, we just looked at this little area here, and I'd like to spend more time now on the second main point: Bible principles that help to define proper relationships with the opposite gender. I'd like to just go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. We have here, and some of these are very simple, and we're going to actually look at them probably, well, I'm not sure if it's going to be tomorrow night or Sunday morning, probably tomorrow night. We look at this a little bit more later, so I'm going to go to them very quickly because you know them by heart. I know you do. One of the reasons, the first one is man needed a helpmeet. And you know that the Bible says that man was created in a way that we're incomplete in ourselves and we need help. And we have many weak points. And so that being the first point, and second point, letter B, is woman was created to help meet that need. And that is why you were created. You were created to help man to meet that need. And to not only help meet the places he comes short, but to also come together in a relationship. And we'll talk about that some more. And if we also see, letter C is God created us, male and female. And we see that there in Genesis chapter 1. Verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every creeping thing that moveth upon the earth. And so there we have, you know, it's amazing how the word of God is just so simple sometimes. It just kind of just says it the way it is. He just said that he has made us male and female, and it's a fall. It says that conception was multiplied for the woman. And so one of the reasons that this subject is important is because God made us to come together in a physical relationship. And also, beyond that, there's also more than that we will look at later, and how God has made us to want to come together as a man and a woman. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, it says, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, and whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. But you know, in this relationship that God has made us, God has given us clear boundaries, very clear boundaries about how this is supposed to be lived out. And that is one of the things that is very important. That's why I must look at this subject. Because not only has God created us male and female, he's given us the desire. He's given us the desire to come together, to be together. And so with that, you see, with that desire comes God's word, and it says this is how you must do it, or it's going to go wrong, or we fall under the condemnation of God, and we fall into sin. Letter D is every man-woman relationship must have an explanation. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore there are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Now here it says it very clearly. One of the things I was saying earlier is that God made us this way. God made us male and female, so we desire to leave home and cleave to each other, and two would become one flesh. This is a Bible principle. This is something the Bible very clearly teaches, that this desire would be there. And so, reason, we understand this principle. We understand that God created us for that, for marriage. And you see, for that very reason, and as far as I know, we have, churches have grown tremendously in these areas, from what I've heard years ago. That's why, young men, you would not get a girl and take her out for a date and have a relationship with her if you had no intentions of marrying her. There is no Bible principle that would support that kind of action. God made us with the desire that if we start a relationship, it would eventually end up in consummation. And in light of this fact, I'd just like to give you several points. In light of this fact, you should never think that you're strong enough to start a relationship that would not be legitimate. You see, every relationship must be defined. And I just go through the Bible, and you try to find a relationship that is not defined. And I know in the Old Testament, there's a little bit different there, because even King David and some of the men, a man after God's own heart, had more than one wife. And so that there looked confusing. But you go into the New Testament, there's either brother or sister, husband and wife. There's not really, as you read the Bible, there's not really any explanation of where you would have a relationship without an explanation of what it's about. You know, sometimes we hear this concept of, we're just friends, or, well, he's like my brother, she's like my sister. And we'll share just a little bit why I believe that can get us in trouble. But the very point is that if we have a relationship that could not be legitimate for some reason, the bottom line is that God said this, the principle is that man would have one wife, that a man, singular, would leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, singular, and they twain should be one flesh. And so, for that very reason, we should never get the idea that we would be strong enough to have a relationship that is not legitimate. We would get sucked in, just like the back there in Proverbs. You see, to start a relationship with the opposite gender, if you have no intention of carrying it through to marriage, is a sure way to end up with a lot of hurt and a lot of pain. But you know, sometimes we get our feelings involved, and maybe we start thinking farther than someone else is. Because of that, we are hurt. But I'm not talking about that so much as I'm talking about just if you had a texting relationship, a messaging relationship with someone of the opposite gender. And all of a sudden, and you know, maybe one's feeling like this is really going somewhere. And all of a sudden, they're courting someone else. God also made us to want to give our hearts to someone of the opposite gender. You see, part of that verse there in Matthew chapter 19, it's not only talking about physical, but God made us incomplete as men and women to fill that need in a special way, and is that we each desire to give our hearts to someone. And you know, my closest friend that I ever had was my wife. Or is my wife. As a youth growing up, I was one of those, I always thought I was different, I guess. I don't know if any of you feel that way, maybe it'll make you feel better. I never had real close friends. It just seemed like, you know, some of the friends I had started going different ways and different paths in life. And, you know, finally when I got to the place where, when I started dating my wife, that was the first real person I had that I could share some of the deep things in my heart, share the things that are very important to me, and to think about sharing life together. And so God made us to come together. God made us to want to give our hearts to each other. God made us that way. That's the way it can be a close relationship, one flesh. And so with that concept, we must be careful with saying, well, you know what? Well, you know, sometimes cousins get really close. I just want to warn you to be careful about that. Don't give your heart. Don't share deep things with someone of the opposite gender if marriage is not even an option. I'm afraid you're setting yourself up. You're setting yourself up for hurts. You see, not only, as we talked about how flattery leads to immorality, but I'm here to tell you that when you give your heart to someone, it will also go to the same place. It goes to, we don't think of it that way, but that's what happens. We give our heart to someone. We have shared our life. We have shared the deep things of our life to them. But God made us that way, but He made it for marriage. Letter E is, all uncleanness is sin. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Before we read this, I'd just like to read 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. It says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." They're giving the commandment to flee fornication, meaning getting as far away from it as possible. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, "But ye therefore be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Do you see the connection here? When we look back at that couple in Romans, in Proverbs chapter 7, it spoke there about, we talked about flattery. We talked about how words take things the wrong way. And you see, in the middle of talking about fornication and sins of the flesh, sexual sins, the next verse is talking about filthiness, foolish talking, and jesting. I don't think that's just by chance that it's in there together. But we understand that these things run together. And if I'm going to be willing to start doing foolish talking, jesting, those type of things, leads to filthiness, I can only expect that maybe the rest would follow. Many things start that way. They start with a filthy mind and move to the mouth and the actions. But one of the things we must understand is that sexual sins are among the sins unto death. We read it here in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, "This man doesn't have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." It also says that, "For these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." One of the things I think we must understand is when we commit these sins, our relationship with God is cut off. I do not believe there's any grace period. The Bible does not teach that there be any grace period for someone who has committed the sin of fornication. It is completely cut off. We could go to more scriptures. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And I know there's other sins listed there. It's just saying, if these sins are in your life, you will not go to heaven. You will not have any part in the kingdom of God. And so that helps us to think more seriously. We understand that these sins are very serious. These sins, if they are committed, will separate our relationship with God. They will separate it. And because of that is so serious, that means I must back up and I must look at my life before it gets to that point. That is one of the things we are trying to do tonight, is encourage you to, in some way, allow God to open the roads of your life and in His way. Letter F. Every boy or girl, man or woman, belongs to someone else. I really want y'all to get this point. Every boy or girl, man or woman, belongs to someone else. If they're a Christian, they belong to Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're there in verse 19 and 20. What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's. It is also most likely that the young lady that you have interest in belongs to dad and a mom. The young man you have interest in most likely belongs to someone else. And I have to confess to you that when I was your age, as youth, I'm sorry, I'm going to pick that up later. I'm going to let that go for now. Letter G. As a Christian, I must want the best for everyone. You see, this is looking at it through the eyes of a Christian. If you're a Christian young man, if you love the Lord, young woman, if you love the Lord, if you're a Christian, you want to do what is right. You see, you not only want to be faithful yourself, but you also want what is best for that young man that you may be attracted to. For that young lady you may be attracted to, you also want what is best for her or for him. It must be that way, because if it's not, that means it is a selfish relationship. You know, in Luke chapter 6, verse 31, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them likewise. That principle must go into the subject we are talking about tonight. If you want to have a good relationship, if you want to have proper relationships and healthy relationships, there's a sense where this verse just actually answers a lot of questions. As ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them likewise? Letter H, we must learn to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. That comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4. This thing is a learning process. You know, I look back and there are things in my life that I would have done different. And maybe you aren't that way. We must learn to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. And Paul talked about that, I believe, to Timothy. He says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. And there he is simply saying, he's telling Timothy that his vessel, he says, learn to possess your vessel in a way of sanctification and honor, in a way that is honoring to no matter who you come in contact with, whether it's Brother Ken, or whether it's a young man, or whether it's a grandma, or whether it's a young lady, that we learn to relate to each other in a way that is healthy, in a way that is right. And the younger sisters with all purity. I am all for seeing youth relate together with a healthy relationship. I am all for that. I like to see that. I love to see that. And I am actually jealous of you, because I just wish that I could somehow live life where it looks like it feels to me like sometimes like it. Be able to relate together in a way that, I don't know, I was just always kind of inhibited and always afraid to, just never could really get myself out of my shell. And maybe you'd have a hard time understanding that now. But you see, I feel tonight that we are actually struggling at the other end. And some of it is because of all the ways we have to connect, all the ways we have to communicate. It is really pushing this thing forward. And because of the reasons we have talked about, because of some of the principles we've laid down, because that as youth you all belong to someone else, because of the way God designed that for men and women to come together, to give their hearts, and not only that, to come together in a physical relationship. You know, that is, for that whole, all the principles we looked at, we won't go over them again, but that is why, just for instance, that you need chaperones at a volleyball game. Now, I know that's maybe some days that irritates you. I don't know. But I'm just here to say that, you know, your parents want you to grow up, and they want you to be, this is the way you are now, that when God opens that rose in your life, that it can be in His time and in His place. And I know how it is. I hope you don't despise me for saying this, but I don't know if I've ever seen a 16 or 17 year old person that says, I want more regulation. I want more, in other words, a 16 or 17 year old tends to push the limits as far as they can go. Now, if you're here and you're not doing that, I want to falsely accuse you. I'm just saying that is the nature of a 16 and 17 year old person. They will push the limits as far as those in authority over them will let them go. And that is why, maybe at that age, that some of the things that we are talking about is very important for you to think about. You know, I think that in some ways, if we were talking to all 25 or 30-year-olds that were singles, maybe the principles still apply. Maybe we would talk a little bit different. I'm not sure. But you know, when you're young and you think life is ahead of you and you think you got things to live for, so many times you do not actually think about the consequences of some of the choices you could easily make very quickly without thinking them through. And maybe sometimes you're angry because your parents say no to something that you really wanted to go to be at. You really thought you should be a part of. And I know maybe I'm saying this over and over again, but they want you. They want you to be this beautiful rose. That when you get older and God is ready to open this rose, that He can do it for you. And I just want to encourage the young men. The Bible tells us as husbands, give honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel. I like to see young men treating young girls with respect. They deserve it. I don't care if you have known, if you're here and you're pure at heart, your desires are pure. It is completely good. It is completely right. I think you should open the door for, if you come to the door, there's a group of girls behind you, it's only right you would open the door and let them in. You treat them with respect. And I think sometimes that this, at least in some young men, I see this as an area they really need to grow in. I don't know how you are. I'm just saying this is what I see sometimes. They are so, maybe so worried about getting to the volleyball game, hitting that ball just right, that they'll stumble over a girl to get to that ball. I'm here to tell you that is not treating the opposite gender with respect. I just want you to think about some of those things. That God has made women, that men would respect them and treat them and understand they are a weaker vessel and would treat them accordingly. And in case you didn't know it, some of the things that as young men that you think impresses young ladies, my wife had to tell me it does not impress them. If you treat them with respect, they will respect you. I want to read a little poem. If you're here tonight and you're considering courting, And you have, maybe it is perfectly right for you to do that. It's here somewhere. want to read this poem. I know it's not scripture. One of the things I have a burden for, I've watched so many young couples. They get married, and after a while, they just fade out, they leave the church, they go somewhere else. And I think I know enough, being married to a woman, I know enough of a woman's heart, that I think that many of those women, many of those young ladies, if they had had a young man that was willing to give spiritual direction, that was willing to be the spiritual leader that God has called him to, would be a different family today. And I'm going to put a lot of pressure on you, and I don't mind doing that. I know that there are young ladies that are not pure and not right. I understand that. I'm here to say to you tonight that I believe that so many times that if a young man, a married young man, courting young man, would take his responsibility seriously, that you have within your hands the potential to take this beautiful rose that you may be considering on the other side of this house and to make her blossom. But you can only do it through the Spirit of God. You can only do it by being sincere about your Christian life, by being sincere about being a leader to your wife and leading her in a spiritual way. I'm going to read this poem. Do you know that you have asked for the costliest thing forever made by His hand above? A woman's heart and a woman's life and a woman's wonderful love. Do you know you have asked for this priceless thing as a child may ask a toy? Demanding what others have died to win with the reckless dash of a boy. You have written my lesson of duty out, man like you have questioned me. Now stand at the bars of my woman's soul until I shall question thee. You require your mutton shall always be hot, your socks and your shirt be whole. I require your heart be true as God's stars and as pure as His heaven, your soul. You require a cook for your mutton and beef. I require a far greater thing. A seamstress, you're wanting for sock and shirts. I look for a man and a king. A king for the beautiful realm called home, and a man that his maker God shall look upon as he did on that very first and say it is very good. I am fair and young, but the rose may fade from this soft young cheek one day. Will you love me then with the falling leaves as you did among the blossoms of May? Is your heart an ocean so strong and true? I may launch my all on its tide. A loving woman finds heaven or hell on the day she is made a bride. I require all things that are good and true, all things that a man should be. If you give this all, I would stake my life to be all you demand of me. If you cannot be this, a laundress and cook you can hire and little to pay, but a woman's heart and a woman's life are not to be won that way. I do like that poem. You know, sometimes I marvel how a woman will trust a man. They will give you their life. They say, I will marry you. You're the one at the helm. Now, the last part of the message. Thinking about this whole concept of all the messaging that is available. And I struggle. I don't even know that I'm even keeping up with what's happening. And maybe by the time I'm done, you'll say, well, he's a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years behind. I don't know. If that is the case, I trust that you can take some of the principles that we have looked at tonight and apply them to your life. It's hard for me to understand because with the three methods of communication I have, of email, text, and phone calls, I really don't want any more kinds of communication. If someone can't get a hold of me those ways, then I just don't need to talk to them. I don't need another source. But you know, today we have Voxer, we have WhatsApp. What all is there out there? And somehow some people think they have to have it all on their phone. And I guess if you need it for some reason, And some of the dangers, I believe, is here. The first one is letter A. It is a world that is somewhere between real and virtual. And I hardly even know how to explain this thought, because the virtual world out there of how people can get involved and relate, they can get involved in pictures and all those things. And that is that they don't want to get hurt, and they don't want to hurt themselves, and so they involve themselves in that world. Okay. But all the message and all the methods of communication is somewhere between that world of someone who says they don't want anything real, they want it all virtual, they want it all that pornography, all that ugly stuff. And we have, clear at the other end, we have real relationships where we look at each other face to face and we talk face to face, and we can just the best means of communication. And somewhere the whole messaging, the whole social media, or is that even the right word, but to be able to text and to all that socializing that can be done through electronics is somewhere between those two. And somehow it's almost a difficult place, because you see in Proverbs chapter 7 they were real people, and they were real situations, and they were face to face. And so now we are struggling with something that is somehow in between that. And so it seems that, and I think one of the reasons I just simply bring that out is because somehow we look at it and say it's not as serious. That if I fail, if I text messages, if I message someone light talk, and if I just even things that are not pure, somehow it doesn't look as bad as what it was that it's been face to face, or a real relationship. Does that make any sense? You understand what I'm trying to say? It feels like somehow that concept is there. But I don't know how we can split it out. I don't know how we can say that a text message sent is different than face to face. If you said it in text, I guess you might as well have said it in word. I think one of the things we must lay down is that if it'd be wrong to say it face to face, in word, and looking at them, if it would be improper, impure, then it's wrong to do it messaging, right? It also, letter B, it provides an avenue through which a relationship can be built without accountability. I was going to bring my phone in and hand it to one of these men. Just, you see, one of the problems I see is that, you see, you have your phone, I have my phone, and I trust that as dads, maybe you're doing your job and seeing through some of that stuff. I really do feel that there are programs out there that track everything, and I just really encourage that. But I'm going beyond that, because as youth, I want you to understand the principles behind some of these things. And some of this stuff will not make sense to you. Some of this stuff will not make complete sense to you until years later. I don't know how else to tell you. I remember being married a few years, and all of a sudden it's like the light turned on. This all kind of makes sense now, what Dad and Mom were trying to say. I just want to plead with you that you would trust your parents. You would trust those in authority over you through this period of time when your interest in the opposite gender is very high, and rightfully so. It's okay. I like to see people. I want to see people get married. It's a beautiful thing. But please don't build that relationship without accountability. Don't start that relationship without accountability. You see, if you have your phone and no one's looking at it, someone else has a phone and no one's looking at that. You see, a relationship can be started. A relationship can progress. And no one knows about it. There's no accountability. Now, I'm going to use the illustration of my daughters. My daughters are little, so I think I can use this safely. You know, if someone wants to date my daughter, I want them to come talk to me. And I have to admit to you, when I was your age, I didn't see the necessity of that. I'm embarrassed, but I did not see the necessity of that. What does he have to know for? Why does he need? You see, remember that one point we looked at? And that is, almost everyone belongs to someone else. And young man, if you want to court a young lady, she does belong to someone else. You know, if someone starts a texting relationship, a messaging relationship with one of my daughters, and I know nothing about it, to me that is just like sneaking in the back door without being caught to go have a visit with her. They really don't feel any different. You see, anyone who wants respect, young man, if you want respect, you want the respect of your future father-in-law, that might be what it is, look at him in the eyes, talk to him face to face. I know that's hard. I know it's not the easiest thing to do. There's a whole lot more respect for someone who's willing to go to the front door, and I'm using that as an illustration, than someone who sneaks in the back door. It is a private avenue of communication through which the heart knows it is just two of us talking. And I don't know how you find it, even in email, brother, and even at work and stuff like that. You know, you can't get away from it today that you're relating, you're emailing those of the office. There are women in control in positions of authority or whatever that you must relate to. It's the way our world is. And I don't know if I can even explain this, except that, do you understand that somehow there's just a different feeling sometimes when it's you and someone from the opposite gender emailing back and forth? I don't know if I can even explain. I'm just saying it's there, and I don't know what to do. I'm just saying it's there and know what to do about it. But it shows that we must look at those principles we looked at all evening and be real with them. And so how much more to 16, 17-year-old young people, I'm not putting you in the dirt, I'm just saying this is where you are in life, who have many things yet to learn about physical relationships, about understanding the proper boundaries between the genders. It is an avenue through which we easily succumb to flattery. Do you know how easy it is for text messaging to go light? Actually, it's almost all light. If you want to talk to someone about something serious, you'll sit down and talk to them face to face. That's my opinion of it. And we understand, we looked at the principle of how flattery is it is part of that road that takes you down to where you don't want to go. If you're here tonight and you're text messaging, flattery words to someone of the opposite gender, you're setting yourself up to get hurt. You're setting yourself up to go wrong. It is an avenue that leads to impure actions. I already said that about the flattery. Remember what happened in the story of flattery. It starts with flattery, and it leads to other things. It leads to things that people did not want to go. Tonight, if you're here, and my messaging. I must think about these points in my messaging. Every man-woman relationship must have an explanation. If we are in some way messaging someone of the opposite gender that we don't have any explanation for the relationship, we must stop. Number two, all uncleanness is sin. It's what Ephesians chapter 5 said. It's all sin. It don't matter if we're talking about foolishness. It don't matter if we're talking about impure, just light talk that is alluded to something dirty, or maybe it's alluding to a relationship. All uncleanness is sin. Every boy or girl, man or woman, belongs to someone else. Please remember that. They belong to someone else. And if you hurt them or you violate them, you also violate, in some way you hurt their authority. You violate them. As a Christian, I must want the best for everyone. Number five, we must learn to possess our vessel unto sanctification and honor. Tonight, I don't know where you are with this whole subject. Maybe everyone here said, well, this don't even affect me. It's not even a struggle for me. And praise the Lord. But somehow, I just know how it works with youth. And it's not that easy. And it's so easy. You have the capability. Some of you probably haven't even had in your pockets to message around opposite genders, to build a relationship, that your parents know nothing about. Again, I just want to plead with you. Are you willing to let something else, are you willing to let someone else force this rose open or force it open yourself? Or are you and I going to let, are we going to let God open the rose of your life? Let's bow our heads and pray.